Dawn Brigade and self-esteem. Say it like you really mean to mean it. Build your life around a secret. Build your secrets into waiting games. Any day they'll string you up, they'll hose you down. They'll nose around in all your things. You swim, you hope to drown. Devastate and implicate. Vindicated by your tribe, you come alive online. You die a couple times, it's fine. Plug in the other drive. Sign above the knotted line. I'm fine, you're fine, we are, we're fine. We'll catch up some other time. Sign ascending signals. Five contenders will divide the kingdom. Nights resemble afternoons at home, with all your worst positions thrown into the harshest light. To be known and loved, to be known and loved, to be known and loved. It's so disgusting, man, I've had enough. Kiss off the day with a mute mouth.
This is Kay Tempest with Priority Boredom, which is the opening track from The Line is a Curve, their excellent new record, which they're bringing to Aotearoa very soon, in fact. Kay is going to be performing at Auckland's Power Station on the 24th of February. And I was very lucky to have a chat with Kay yesterday about what they've been working on. This brilliant record, of course, but also they've done quite a bit of writing across the pandemic. They released a really wonderful long essay via Faber Publishing called On Connection, which is about using creativity in a very broad sense as a way to make community and get through the weirdness of the world at the moment. So let's have a listen to that chat. If you'd like to send us a message, 5395 is the text number. I want to start with talking about poetry, because that does feel like a really core bit of everything you've done since you were a teenager, and it feels like maybe a touchstone for you in the way you write and the way you think. And I wanted to know how your relationship to poetry, both, you know, written poetry and performance poetry, has changed over the years, because this feels like an album that has a sort of reflectiveness to it.
Yeah, my relationship to poetry has changed because I've branched out in so many different areas with my words, that I think I've understood much more about what forms do to ideas. So what I mean by that is that I fell in love with words through lyrics. Lyricism was the thing that just got my heart and my attention and my appetite and everything. Just my hyper focus went directly into lyrics, and through lyricism I discovered poetry, and through poetry, spoken word performances, I actually got my first commission to write a play. A theatre director had seen me telling my poems at different gigs, and so my lyricism eventually led me to writing for the theatre, and then that gave me all this scope to understand drama and dialogue and narrative and like plot and pace and all this stuff, which then helped me when I started to think about this big long story I had an idea for that developed eventually into a novel. Mm-hmm. And then back into all of my albums and all of my books of poetry and all these different things. Underneath it all is language, words, and I think that the way I understand it now, the best way I think I can put it, is that really I feel like a musician. That I feel like a musician, but I feel like I play words. That's my instrument. And that the lyric in all its forms, the musicality of language in all of the different ways that I work, that's what it comes down to. There is music in my language, and yeah, there's language in my music. That's the best way I think I can put it.
Oh, it's such a brilliant way of putting it. I think that reading your novel, there is that musicality just embedded throughout it. And I think you really are very good at capturing the sort of rhythms and musicality of everyday life. And that's something that a lot of people have commented on. And I think it's drawn such a big audience to your writing, as you take these quite essential human experiences and you reveal the beauty in them, and the sadness and the sort of truth that's at the heart of those experiences. I wonder what that process feels like for you when you're trying to put those things into words. Is it a natural type of a flow, or do you find you sometimes have to really drill in to work out what you want to say about a specific experience or a specific thing?
Yeah, to be honest, it's a lot of hard work. There is a part of writing that is natural and it just kind of falls out of you, But there is a greater part of writing, which is that it's not, none of that is happening. And you, the skill of it is that you have to write when it doesn't feel like, you know, the most natural thing in the world. It's on the days when you have to really kind of, you know, drag it out, and every word feels clumsy and every sentence seems cliched and everything seems overwritten, or all of the language feels like received language, nothing feels original. These are the days when it's the craft of it, the skill of it comes to the fore, because that's what makes a person a writer, I think. Not I think that everybody who enjoys the feeling of sitting with a notebook and writing their feelings or their dreams or a list or, like, you know, their hopes, that is a beautiful thing, and it's very important for just getting your thoughts in order. But there's a different thing, which is trying to write a novel or a poem or a play, which is like, oh, the novelist Willie Vlautin, who is someone that I love to read, I got to chat to him once when one of his books came out. And he said, yeah, writing a novel, it's like digging a ditch. You know, it's no more romantic than that. It's not, it isn't this great pursuit of pleasure that it might seem to be. It's actually just this hard graft. You got to get up and you got to dig that ditch, and you've got to dig it until it's dug. And then at the end of the day, you know, you've got a bit further, and the next day you try again. It's like any other task, really. It's hard graft.
See as deep as a drum. There are things I must record, must praise. There are things I have to say about the fullness and the blaze of this beautiful life. The beloved watched the world on its knees with an infinite degree of separation. That was something to see. And my friend told me death is like taking off a tight shoe. And when I stopped looking for me, I was able to find you. Right there where everything is transcendent, I can feel myself opening up, getting closer. No hope is enough. I've stopped hoping. I'm learning to trust. I came to under that red moon. I was completely crushed.
Let's talk about your album, The Line is a Curve, because it has got a cyclical quality to it. I wondered how you approached thinking about this as a body of work together. Was it something that to you felt like a track after track, or were you always envisaging this bigger picture as you were writing?
The way it works is that when I begin, I don't have a clear idea of where I'm trying to go. The first ever session towards an album is just, it begins in silence. We have nothing. I work with Dan Carey, my producer, who I've been working with for my last four records, and we get together and we just follow the idea, we just see what happens. I love making music so much that it's probably the most fun. It's the most fun thing that I get to do. I love being in the studio with Dan. It's just like being in a, like, he's like a mad professor or something, or like this crazy, he's got all these machines and these lights flashing, and he gets really excited and picks up all of his guitars, and it's so cool, it's so much fun. So we just begin and we just see where it goes, and eventually, after a few days, you know, I go back to my life, I have to go and do other things, he has to do other things, and after I've had some time away from it, I'll listen back to the demos. I think, where are we going? What is it trying to tell me? You know, and then maybe the next session, we dig a bit deeper, we try and understand, and then eventually at some point it reveals itself. You say, oh, this is the idea, this is the common thread, or like the direction seems to be, we're going this way, or it might be a sonic thing, something to do with the kind of synths that we're using, or the kind of drum sounds that I'm realizing that we want. And then at that point, you start to think, wow, we've really got something. And then you get into the driving seat, you stop following, you kind of start leading, you ask the ideas, you know, come with me. And then at that point, you know, it all starts to lock into place. It's like, oh, I can see. And usually around that time, I start thinking about titles. Then when I get the title, everything just starts, it just starts to kind of shine, and you can see it. You're just heading towards it, and you're just trying to get there.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I wanted the album, to flow the way that it did, for the tracks to go into each other. I knew that I wanted the guitar to pick out the Priority Boredom synth line at the end of Grace. It's just something that I just knew had to happen so that the album flows back into itself, so that by the time you get to the end of the record, you've gone through all of this stuff, you've gone through all the darkness into all this character descriptions and then first person monologues, and then you've gone through the struggle of the fight and the upliftment of grace, and you have this epiphany about love, but then in the morning you wake up, you've got to do it all over again. It doesn't stop. Just because you have one epiphany, that doesn't mean you've had all the epiphanies that you need in your life. You've got to have them constantly.
I loved that experience of listening to it, because that is exactly how it felt, just that beautiful lift that grace gives the end of the record, and then to bring it back into the beginning. It has got a kind of a pathos to it and a gorgeous humanity to it as well. You do just have to keep on keeping on a little bit. And that's something that seems to be, for all of your work, a real through line of interest for you. Your book on connection is a really generous work about thinking through the ways we support each other, how art is part of that conversation, and how we all kind of knit together as community. What was interesting to you about trying to write that as almost like a little manual of sorts, or a way to think through those problems?
Yeah, I should just say, it's so cool to talk to somebody so far from home who's read so much of my work. It's so cool. I can't believe it. I was given the opportunity to write this non-fiction pamphlet by Faber, the publisher. They were doing these series of kind of pamphlets with musicians who were writing. I think they really wanted like a kind of political pamphlet. But I just thought, I'm no use there. I've got nothing to say. I don't want to create a kind of irritant. Everything is already so irritated. And I just mean that in terms of everything's kind of raised and sore, I think. And then I just thought, well, what's useful for me? What that I know about? What's my area of expertise? And I realized there are things that I've learned through the years that I've spent doing what I do, that I feel like I've worked out some interesting things. And I just thought, well, the best use of this is for me to be able to put some of this stuff that I've been thinking about over all these years on the road, down into words, because some of this stuff is stuff I've been formulating or thinking about. It preoccupies me all the time. And then I have done a couple of visits into colleges and universities and schools over the years, and talk to students about different things. And over the years, I found myself really enjoying that experience of talking to other people on a creative path, and just being able to, offer some perspective on what it's actually like. And so part of me was thinking about that, and thinking about maybe I could make something that could be useful in that sense, like in the way that I was really touched by Rilke's Letters to a Young Poet, and also Peter Brook's The Empty Stage. Like when I read these two things, it made me feel buzzed up, really energized for my own practice. So I wanted the book to speak to creative people, but also to speak to everybody. And my editor kind of encouraged me to include more episodes from my own life, just to illustrate how I'd got to these theories about creativity, because I didn't really know how to write nonfiction. At first, I just turned in this pretend journalism. I didn't know what I was doing. And then my editor was like, look, just because it's, nonfiction doesn't mean it has to be this or that or the other. You can still find your way with the form. And that was really cool. That just gave me space to think, well, actually, I want to write about, the Red Book, or I want to write about the time when I have my nodules out, and there's ways of including it all in something that I hope gives people some access to their own creativity. That's my hope for it.
What is next? Because you are so, constantly cooking something up, whether it is writing or music or a different, medium. What are you working on at the moment? What are you looking towards?
I've just finished a new poetry collection, which will be published in April, which is going to be, that's the next thing that's coming up. And then beyond that, I'm working on a novel, which I don't know when that will be. if I ever finish it or what, like, it's on its way. I'm getting through it. It's written that, and I'm extremely excited about it, but also it's a long old thing. And then there's an album that I'm starting to think about, and there's lots of things that I'm juggling. Yeah, lots of things coming.
Oh, so exciting. Well, we're so looking forward to having you in New Zealand to hear the Line Is a Curve live and see you perform, first time in quite a long time. So thank you so much, Kay, for speaking with me today.
That was Kay Tempest chatting with me yesterday ahead of their show, which is coming to the Power Station on the 24th of this month. Polly Hill is going to be opening. Kay is one of those artists who will just work in any medium, written medium, sonic medium, that they can get their hands on. Prolific and extremely inspiring to have a chat with. So thank you so much to Kay for spending the time. We're going to have a listen now to the song I'm rudely talking over. We'll wind it back and start it from the beginning. This is from The Line Is a Curve. It's More Pressure featuring Kevin Abstract.
More pressure, more release, more relief, more belief. More distance, more reach. The truth is, I don't know, it's so deep. I know nothing. I used to think things were so clear. I was so near to nowhere. I could feel everything in me pushing for certain, certain's a flimsy. Rock solid ground beneath me now tells me there's no ground at all. More pressure, more release. Your eyes, your cheeks, your features crease. More desire, less deceit, less complex, more complete. Let's push more flow, please let me let go. Get it all out of you, let it surprise you. I was in a party face, mostly eyeballs. Chin deep in a bag of white lies, saying I'm sick and tired of my own advice. I see it now, so perfect, but so hard to put into practice. One step forwards, two steps backwards. One soul's epiphanies, another soul's madness. I saw the truth in the curls of the vanishing girl. Hands like cobwebs dangling, eyes like deep sea dives. She said, stop worrying, man, stop panicking. Karma. Clearer, closer, nearer. More grounded, more rooted, less convoluted. More stillness, more movement, more existence, less improvement. More decisions, less solutions, less inhibition, less confusion. More intuition, more connection, more nature, more protection. More abundance, more reflection, less instruction, more comprehension. More pressure, more release, more relief, more belief. More distance, more reach. The truth is, I don't know, it's so deep. More pressure, more release. More relief, more belief. Let's push, more flow. Please, let me let go. Let me let go.
Flash from the past, what's so special? Ghetto in the universal. Roll into the road that you came here for. Look at me, man, I came here past four. Look at the pressure, look at the souls. Look at the freedom, look at the clones. Look at my scars, look at my bones. Look at my faults, more release, more push. More you, more new. Yes, yes, understand how to hunt. And you taught me how to hunt, so I can't be guilty. Traveling, mind, rubber land. Let the trunk rattle down, what's true to you, what's real. This is still all the watch from cars. Sitting on top of your car, we don't lose.
More pressure, more release, more belief, more belief. More distance, more reach. The truth is, I don't know, it's so deep. More pressure, more release, more relief, more belief. Let's push, more flow, please let me let go.